D.B. watched that first pilot film of mine in dead silence, and when it was over, he said, "That's all right. Don't change it. Just keep it right in the middle of the road the way that one was." And in 7 years, he has repeated the essence of that remark several times. He's never hinted that I should leave any particular subject alone. He's never criticized my viewpoint. About all he ever says is, "Your broadcasts are fine, just keep them in the middle of the road." There are many unique things about D.B. Lewis. Calling me a middle-of-the-roader is one of them. Both D.B. and I had known that it would be difficult to get my kind of broadcasting on television. I had not anticipated how difficult. D.B. had. You cannot possibly know the struggle this man made alone to pioneer patriotic advertising on television. He had to fight to buy time for my broadcasts on stations where he had been buying advertising time since the beginning of television. Now, he knows how to fight, and he has a lot to fight with, and he has no fear. But when you're fighting the liberal cabal that has a monopoly in any field, you sometimes need even more than courage. It required patience, dogged determination, ingenuity, salesmanship, and endless hours of time, and D.B. gave them all. A lesser man would have wearied and given up, but thank God D.B. is not a lesser man. And all of his opposition did not come from liberals or television station operators. Friends, advisors, lawyers, advertising experts warned him that sponsoring my broadcast would ruin his business, drive off customers, and keep him embroiled in lawsuits. D.B. figured they may be right. But, he said, businessmen had sat trembling with cowardice for 30 years while government, often guided by socialists and communists, gradually destroyed our Constitution, eliminating the free market system which made all businesses possible. He guessed that I might ruin his business, but knew that big government was ruining all businesses anyhow. He wanted the fun and soul satisfaction of fighting like a man while he had a means to fight. If the business he had built was to be ruined, he wanted to choose his own method of ruining it. And so he put my program on the air to do that job, understanding all of the possible consequences, sponsoring it as a public service, but soon made a surprising discovery. This once-a-week, 15-minute program sold more dog food than Hopalong Cassidy used to. Even in markets where the broadcast was competing with Lassie. We both realized that public interest in my broadcast was no tribute to me. It was rather a tribute to the American people. After 30 years of saturation bombing with the propaganda of socialism, they still understood, respected, and reacted joyously to the ideas of freedom. We got tons of mail, 99% of it favorable. People send in Dr. Ross labels to prove that they are supporting a sponsor who will put on a Freedom Story program. One man wrote from San Francisco saying that he had no pets, but he'd eat the stuff himself if that would help. After watching the broadcast a while, one elderly lady switched her two beloved cats to Dr. Ross. Now, cats are finicky about changing diet, and these two tried to balk. The little lady related to me how she solved that problem. She said, "I told those communist cats to eat Dr. Ross or starve." The 1% of DB's mail, which is unfavorable, comes from people who simply cannot stand to hear freedom and human rights equated with American constitutional principles and individual responsibility. They say ugly things about DB and me. His standard comment is, that's fine. That proves they're listening, and God knows they need to. Every once in a while, detractors of considerable power aim their guns at DB. He is a fly in their political ointment. He is a reminder that American businessmen with old-fashioned intestinal fortitude are still around. He makes them uncomfortable. They can't ignore him and they can't whip him. He is hard to whip because of his unconquerable spirit. Few men in history have ever fought against greater odds than DB. He is a product of struggle and freedom. To him, the words are synonymous. A man struggles because he is free, and he struggles to remain free. In his one life, there have been enough hardship and tragedy for 20 strong men. Yet I have never seen DB when he could not laugh. And like his strength, his humor is contagious. When I was making that first tour of his plant, we started across the street to his parking lot and garage. Suddenly, he stopped, stood erect, took off his hat, and held it over his heart. I looked around dumbfounded. I couldn't see anything but a mangy little alley dog trotting by. And when the mutt disappeared around the corner, DP put back on his hat and said, "Customer." A few years ago, D.B. and Mrs. Lewis and Mrs. Smoot and I went to Honolulu for 1 week's rest. I rested. D.B. investigated the taxicab business and told the cabbies how they could improve their service and profits. He found out more about the operations of Kaiser Village than Mr. Kaiser ever knew. He interviewed his own brokers and reorganized his operations there and did a survey of grocery store advertising displays. He analyzed the food and other operations of famous restaurants and nightclubs in Honolulu and gave the managers helpful hints about improvements. And in his spare time, he sold subscriptions to the Dan Smoot Report. We found one restaurant in Honolulu that DB liked. It was operated by the Salvation Army Home for Wayward Girls. D.B. loved their salads. He said they had the nicest tomatoes there he'd ever seen. About the third day we were in Honolulu, I told D.B. it was friendly of him to pick up all the big checks, but he ought to let me pick up a little one now and then. He solemnly agreed that that was fair, so I arranged a luncheon for our party and a group of Honolulu patriots. I put myself at the head of the table and talked to our little Polynesian waitress so there would be no doubt that I was running this deal and that I was to get the check. I had DB seated down toward the other end, sandwiched in between my wife and another lady to make it obvious that he was just another one of my guests. The waitress paid me due attention as the man from whom she expected a tip until about halfway through the luncheon, and then she began to make wide circles around me. She didn't bring me things, she had them passed to me, always watching me furtively and nervously. At the end, she slipped the check to DB down at the other end of the table and vanished. DB had quietly told that waitress that I had just been released from a mental institution. He explained to her that I was all right, I was safe, and that I got violent only when people asked me for money. He told her that all of these folks here were friends and they understood the importance of my playing host, but he warned her that she had better slip him that check and get out of the way. You who are close to D.B. have probably noticed one of his singular traits. He has a mind like a steel trap, which retains dates, facts, statistics, scientific formula, mathematical equations, and minute detail about everything important. But he refuses to clutter his mind with unimportant things. Hence, he often cannot remember the names of the people he knows the best. Sometimes, when preoccupied with matters of deep import, he still calls me on the telephone and says, "Don, I like that Last Dance food report." His disregard for unimportant formalities reminds me of a Civil War story about a young fellow from Arkansas who joined the cavalry of General Bedford Forrest of Mississippi. The Arkansas boy was a miraculous horse soldier. Old Bedford promoted him fast. And during any engagement, the Yankees always knew where to find him, right out at the head of an attacking column. But to the end, he scorned the formalities of military language. Instead of giving the cavalry command, "Prepare to mount, mount," he said, "Get ready to get on your critters, get!" Knowing that we who want to restore the Republic do not have much time left, D.B. believes in getting directly to the point. Knowing that wars cannot be won by rearguard action, he carries the fight to the enemy right out on the front line. I know you love D.B., but I wonder whether you realize how much you ought to love him. If D.B. Lewis had not decided when he did decide to pioneer patriotic advertising on television, it would have been too late to try. Today, there would not be a Donald Jackson, a Hal Fishman, a Dean Mannion, a Dan Smoot on television anywhere, any city in the United States. Unless we can get the freedom story into the media of mass communication throughout the land, our country is doomed. The pioneering job that D.B. did has inspired other courageous businessmen in other parts of the country to sponsor conservative broadcasts. But there are still enormous areas where a virtual blackout exists, where the international socialists still totally control the dissemination of news. This blackout today would be nationwide if 7 years ago, a late farm boy from Tennessee had not loved his country and his freedom so much that he was willing to gamble everything he had worked 30 years to build on an effort to awaken a slumbering people. If the Republic is saved, this one man, D.B. Lewis, will be due a lion's share of the credit. It is gracious and heartwarming of all of you to show your respect and admiration for D.B. by coming here. But remember that he is a realist and a man of action. It is altogether proper to applaud him, but it's better to help him. Every one of you, most of you already are. If you are not, you should be, and you must continue to be, a relentless missionary to carry the truth and the philosophy of freedom to every uninformed person in the country that you can possibly reach. And in this fateful political year, here in this key political state, I beg you, I beseech you, work your hearts out to find and elect Americans to the Congress of the United States. Men, for example, of the caliber of my dear friend, Strom Thurmond. And with equal verve and determination, work to put a man named Goldwater in the White House. Can be done. You are the ones to do it. And that's the way to show how you love D.B. May God bless him. And God bless you.